Greetings, this is podcast number 18 of Blast the Right. I'm Jack Clark from therationalradical.com, www.therationalradical.com. This is one of those shows with one big topic. Let's get right into it. This will be what I consider a major heads-up segment. We'll discuss a story that's certainly not in the news in any overwhelming fashion, but that is nevertheless critically important and may indeed become a story that's in the news in an overwhelming fashion in the not-too-distant future. The subject is Venezuela and its president, Hugo Chavez. Whom do right-wingers think is the most dangerous man in the world? Do they consider it to be Kim Jong-il, president of North Korea, who has nuclear weapons? Do they consider it to be the leaders of China, with 1.2 billion people, four times our population, nuclear weapons, an ever-expanding economy that threatens to overwhelm ours? Is it the leaders of China? Is it the newly elected president of Iran, who seems hell-bent on pursuing his nuclear program? Well, in my opinion, to right-wingers, none of those gentlemen are the most dangerous man in the world. To right-wingers, the most dangerous man in the world is Hugo Chavez. Let's first listen to Newt Gingrich talking to Bill O'Reilly.
Let's go on to President Bush in Latin America. Hugo Chavez is the prime motivator behind all these anti-American demonstrations. They're communist socialists down there. How do you deal with Chavez?
Well, I think it's very similar to the problem we have in Europe. You need to understand that an enemy is an enemy, and Chavez is clearly an enemy of freedom, an enemy of the United States, an enemy of economic development, and he is very closely allied with Fidel Castro. And frankly, we ought to have a much more aggressive strategy, both for Castro and for Chavez, because as long as they are there, they're going to be using, in effect, you now have Venezuelan money with Cuban organization designing an anti-American campaign in Latin America.
Yeah, a socialist communist campaign, which is very, very dangerous in chaotic nations.
And then, of course, we have the much more infamous comments by the loopy Pat Robertson. The first couple of words are cut off. Robertson says, there was a popular coup.
Popular coup that overthrew him. And what did the United States State Department do about it? Virtually nothing. And as a result, within about 48 hours, that coup was broken. Chavez was back in power. But we had a chance to move in. He has destroyed the Venezuelan economy, and he's going to make that a launching pad for communist infiltration and Muslim extremism all over the continent. You know, I don't know about this doctrine of assassination, but if he thinks we're trying to assassinate him, I think that we really ought to go ahead and do it. It's a whole lot cheaper than starting a war. And I don't think any oil shipments will stop, but this man is a terrific danger. And the United States, this is in our sphere of influence, and we can't let this happen. We have the Monroe Doctrine. We have other doctrines that we have announced. And without question, this is a dangerous enemy to our South, controlling a huge pool of oil that could hurt us very badly. We have the ability to take him out, and I think the time has come that we exercise that ability. We don't need another $200 billion war to get rid of one, you know, strong-armed dictator. It's a whole lot easier to have some of the covert operatives do the job and then get it over with.
So what has Chavez done to earn this enmity? This is what he's done. I'm reading from an article by Maddie Weiss in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Quote, under democratically elected President Hugo Chavez, instead of Venezuela's oil wealth being used to enrich a tiny percentage of wealthy families, that wealth is being used to improve the lives of the poor majority in that country. Huge numbers of people, for the first time in their lives, have free and adequate health care, the opportunity to attend university, access to land grants and work contracts, constitutionally assured rights for women and indigenous people, and free breakfast programs for children. And with all this, a sense of dignity and ownership over their lives. End quote. Now, please understand that when we talk of the poor in Venezuela, we're not talking about the poor as we think of them in the United States. In the United States, someone who's poor we may think of as, oh, they drive an old car, they can't afford a new car, or they only have one television in their house. No, the poor in Venezuela and other countries like that, that's really poor. That's poor with no food, no medicine, and children dying as a result. That's the kind of poor we're talking about, and that's the kind of poor that are being helped in Venezuela. Here's another description of what's happening there. This is from Richard Gott in the Guardian newspaper in Britain. Quote, "Instead of gushing into the coffers of the already wealthy, the oil pipelines have been picked up and directed into the shanty towns, funding health, education, and cheap food. Nearly 20,000 doctors are now spread around this country of 25 million people. New supermarkets have sprung up where food, much of it home produced, is available at subsidized prices. Classrooms have been built where school dropouts are corralled back into study." End quote. This is just terrible, isn't it? Chavez should be ashamed of himself. According to a letter that the Venezuelan ambassador wrote to the New York Times, his country, quote, has wiped out illiteracy, provided 40% of the population with subsidized food, and ensured that 18 million people have free health care, close quote. I ask you again, what the hell does Chavez think he's doing? Helping the people of his own country? What an evil idea. Could you ever imagine George Bush doing such an evil thing? As an aside, let me mention, I'm certainly not going to take as the gospel what the ambassador of any country says. The stats that the Venezuelan ambassador presented, however, do seem in accord with data from other sources. The ambassador's claim that the Venezuelan economy is doing great is the exact opposite of the claim of the right-wingers who say he's ruined the economy. Who am I going to believe, right-wingers or the Venezuelan ambassador? Well, I'm going to believe the Venezuelan ambassador. So what do the Venezuelan people think of Chavez? Apparently, the majority there love him. This is from an AP story. Quote, "Since taking office in 1999, Chavez has survived a 2002 coup, a 2003 strike, and a recall referendum last year. He is up for re-election next year, and recent polls suggest he has a 70% approval rating," close quote. Gee, his approval rating is almost twice George Bush's. I wonder why. Even some of Chavez's most bitter opponents inside Venezuela have come to recognize that he is doing good things there. This is from a recent New York Times story. Quote, "Maria Karina Machado, 38, attractive and affluent English speaker, is lionized by her allies in the opposition as a worldly sophisticate fighting for democracy. But she is demonized by the government, which characterizes her as a member of a corrupt elite that is doing the bidding of the much-reviled Bush administration. Ms. Machado does not hide her close relations with Washington, which has provided financial aid to SUMATE, the anti-Chavez election monitoring organization she helps run. In recent months, Ms. Machado has turned down her rhetoric on Mr. Chavez. She said she understood why so many Venezuelans support the populist government, which has showered the poor with social programs underwritten by a flood of oil money. We have to recognize the positive things that have been done, she said." End of quote. So why do these right-wingers like O'Reilly and Gingrich and Pat Robertson, why do they hate Chavez so much? The AP story I referred to said that, quote, representatives of the U.S. government have expressed concern that Chavez and his close ally, Cuban leader Fidel Castro, are fomenting instability in Latin America. Chavez and Castro deny it, instead blaming the United States for meddling in the affairs of Latin nations. Close quote. This is where you have to go beyond the rhetoric, beyond the code words, beyond the propaganda. Fomenting instability is a right-wing code phrase for the racist concept of stirring up the natives or giving them ideas that there's no reason for them to live in abject poverty. The Venezuelan opposition will often rant and rave that they oppose Chavez not because he's helping the poor, but because he's not democratic. Right-wingers in this country will often pick up that rhetoric and talk about the dictator Chavez, or they'll use other such phrases that are totally at odds with the facts, since the guy's been elected twice and survived the recall referendum by an overwhelming majority. Frankly, right-wingers don't give a damn whether Chavez is democratic or not. In fact, right-wingers usually prefer dictators. The more absolute, the better, as long as they're our dictators, because then they can do our bidding 100% of the time with no delay, without worrying about what their pesky population thinks or wants. I mean, who is it that Pat Robertson wants to assassinate? Does he want to assassinate Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, the long-term dictator who repeatedly and just recently again has his thugs beat up and intimidate opposition party members? Does Robertson want to assassinate the Uzbekistan dictator named Karimov, who boils his opponents to death? Or how about putting a bullet in the heads of the leaders of the Sudan, who are committing genocide? No. Robertson and O'Reilly and Gingrich, they're not ranting and raving about those brutal dictators. They're complaining about Chavez, who hasn't been accused of torturing anyone, but who has been feeding the hungry, ministering to the sick, and other such evil activities. Believe it or not, it's Chavez's ministering to the poor that is why the right wing hates him so much. The Minneapolis Star Tribune article expressed my thoughts perfectly. Quote, millions across Venezuela have experienced tangible, visible change in their lives over the last several years. But while these changes have made Chavez a hero in the eyes of Venezuela's poor majority, they have made him an enemy in the White House. It makes Washington's blood boil that Chavez not only denounces its global mandates of fiscal austerity, structural adjustment, and radical privatization, but that Venezuela has the resources to successfully enact its own development model. Using its oil wealth, Venezuela is constructing one of the truly alternative models of economic growth in today's world. The fourth largest exporter of petroleum to the United States, Venezuela has shifted production from multinational corporations into the hands of the state, which now harvests the bulk of this liquid gold in order to sembrar el petróleo, sow the oil, and invest billions inwards. So while Venezuela sows its oil, Washington is sowing the seeds to unseat Chavez. It is building up the case for invasion, a coup, or an assassination. Close quote. Yes, absolutely. This is what makes Chavez so hated by the Bushians. It's the same reason the Reaganites hated the Sandinistas in Nicaragua so much. Unfortunately, the Sandinistas didn't have any oil wealth and were easy for the Reaganites to take down. The Venezuelan government clearly understands all this. I'll read again a bit from the ambassador's letter to the New York Times. Quote, poverty rose in Venezuela from 28% in the early 1980s to 85% when President Hugo Chavez took office. That was the backdrop of his initial victory as a democratically elected alternative to the flawed policies of the past. In the years since, social expenditures have risen in net terms to about $5 billion a year. This represents a large transfer of resources to the poor. Venezuela has the fastest growing economy in Latin America, with growth rates in the first two quarters of 7.5% and 11%. Importantly, the non-oil sectors have grown at a faster pace than the oil sector. This is the right result for Venezuela, even if it does not fit the United States paradigm. Close quote. So now you see what the problem is for these right-wingers. As we know, the entire right-wing philosophy can be boiled down to a few words spoken by their head cheerleader, Rush Limbaugh. Listen to how he gleefully starts off by exclaiming, Roosevelt is dead.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
The policies that Limbaugh is speaking about burying are, of course, the entire social safety net and any programs that foster economic justice. The right wing wants to destroy the safety net in this country and govern in the interest only of the super rich. Chavez is the exact opposite. He wants to create a social safety net in Venezuela. Chavez truly does make the blood of right wingers boil. He's creating in Venezuela that which they most want to destroy in the United States. It's a bad example for people here. And it's a bad example for people all over the developing world. Just think about it for a minute. Chavez is governing in the interest of the majority in Venezuela who are poor. In the U.S., governing in the interest of the majority would be governing in the interest of the middle and working class, with a protective social safety net for the poor. But right-wingers never want to govern in the interest of the majority of the working class and the middle class. No, they want to govern in the interest only of the richest of the rich. Just look where Bush's tax cuts always go. So to right-wingers, Chavez is committing the worst type of blasphemy. He's the devil to them. With all this being understood now, I'm going to replay the Robertson and Gingrich O'Reilly clips, and I'm going to interrupt as it goes along and decode what they're really saying. First, here's the O'Reilly Gingrich clip.
Let's go on to President Bush in Latin America. Hugo Chavez is the prime motivator behind all these anti-American demonstrations.
Oh, yes, they've loved us down there for so many years. The phrase Yankee go home just recently originated in Chavez's brain.
They're communist socialists down there.
O'Reilly is an ignorant jackass. A socialist is not a communist. But then why discuss real meanings of words? O'Reilly's just demagogically name-calling, stirring up his imbecile audience. Amazing, though, that he still thinks, and maybe he's right, that the communist charge still has traction.
How do you deal with Chavez?
Well, I think it's very similar to the problem we have in Europe. You need to understand that an enemy is an enemy, and Chavez is clearly an enemy of freedom.
Chavez has been elected twice, overcame a U.S.-supported coup, and defeated a recall referendum by a landslide. Sounds pretty democratic to me. The freedom Newt is talking about is the freedom of multinationals to exploit Venezuela's natural resources. That's the only kind of freedom he's talking about.
An enemy of the United States.
We overthrew him, not vice versa. What did he ever do to us?
An enemy of economic development.
Yes, an enemy of economic development that benefits only the rich. The only kind right-wingers want.
And he is very closely allied with Fidel Castro.
Yes, old Castro with his huge country of 11 million people is such a danger to us.
And frankly, we ought to have a much more aggressive strategy, both for Castro and for Chavez, because as long as they are there, they're going to be using, in effect, you now have Venezuelan money with Cuban organization designing an anti-American campaign in Latin America. Yeah.
Note the phrase, as long as they're there. In other words, they've got to be gotten rid of. Same as Robertson. These guys are all scripted and get their talking points from Central Command.
Yeah, a socialist communist campaign, which is very, very dangerous in chaotic nations.
Chaotic nations? Is Venezuela chaotic? What is O'Reilly babbling about? What he really means is a socialist or capitalist with a human face model that makes sure all citizens share in a country's wealth. That's what's dangerous to O'Reilly and other right-wingers. Here's the Pat Robertson clip. Remember, the first couple of words are missing where he says there was a popular coup.
Popular coup that overthrew him.
No, it was not a popular coup.
And what did the United States State Department do about it? Virtually nothing.
Virtually nothing? We did it. We financed opposition groups. And you'd have to be blind to 100 years of U.S. intervention in Latin America to not understand that we organized and directed the coup.
And as a result, within about 48 hours, that coup was broken. Chavez was back in power, but we had a chance to move in. He has destroyed the Venezuelan economy.
Destroyed the economy for the multinationals. That's who he destroyed it for, not for the Venezuelan people. He gave the economy to the Venezuelan people.
And he's going to make that a launching pad for communist infiltration and Muslim extremism all over the continent.
Oh yes, communists and Muslim extremists are natural allies. Tell that to the Soviet Union, which fought the Mujahideen in Afghanistan.
You know, I don't know about this doctrine of assassination, but if he thinks we're trying to assassinate him, I think that we really ought to go ahead and do it. It's a whole lot cheaper than starting a war. And I don't think any oil shipments will stop, but this man is a terrific danger. And the United States, this is in our sphere of influence, and we can't let this happen. We have the Monroe Doctrine. We have other doctrines that we have announced. And without question, this is a dangerous enemy to our South, controlling a huge pool of oil that could hurt us very badly. We have the ability to take him out, and I think the time has come that we exercise that ability. We don't need another $200 billion war to get rid of one, you know, strong-armed dictator. It's a whole lot easier to have some of the covert operatives do the job and then get it over with.
Ah, yes, Pat, I'm sure Jesus would agree with you, quite sure. Robertson preaches and speaks the exact opposite of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, this is what Chavez said. Quote, "You can be sure that we will continue fighting for the ideas of Martin Luther King, for Christ the Redeemer's idea of loving one another and building a society of equals through our peaceful and democratic revolution." Close quote. Now, you'll recall that helping the least of these is the central commandment of Jesus to us as to how we're to interact with our fellow human beings. That's contained in the Matthew 25 parable of the sheep and the goats, where Jesus says, "As you treat the least of these is how you treat me." I won't get into that whole spiel now, but if you want to know more about how right-wing fake Christians like Pat Robertson betray the most fundamental teachings of Jesus, check out my podcast number 10, the segment entitled Challenge to Right-Wing Pseudo-Christians. Getting back to the subject here, from what I can see, Hugo Chavez has the right to invoke the name of Jesus in the work he's doing in Venezuela. Unlike phony Christians such as Pat Robertson and George W. Bush. No, I'm not saying Chavez is Jesus. To tell you the truth, I haven't been to Venezuela. I have not investigated that situation in great, great depth. And I'm certainly not a big supporter of Chavez in all the aspects of his rule. But I do support his using his nation's wealth to benefit the majority of the people of his country. The majority poor in Venezuela have been awakened to their humanity and to their absolute right to live a decent life, just like the majority poor in Nicaragua were awakened to their humanity and to their absolute right to live a decent life. This is the scariest thing in the world to a right-winger. The same would be true in the United States. If the poor and working class in the United States had the same level of consciousness as the poor and working class do in Nicaragua, and increasingly so in Venezuela, the right wing in the United States would be at best a fringe political element, afraid to show their face. They'd get hooted down, or even more likely, laughed off the stage wherever they went. As a final note, Reuters reported last summer that Chavez said his government would, quote, take legal action against Pat Robertson and seek his extradition after the U.S. evangelist called for Washington to assassinate the South American leader. He said Venezuela could seek Robertson's extradition under international treaties and take its claims to the United Nations if the Bush administration did not act, close quote. As recently as last month, a story in Bloomberg News reported that Chavez still intends to do that. I don't know where that story is now. I may just check it out and report back to you. Imagine the sheer joy of seeing Robertson behind bars. I doubt that would happen, but as Jesse Jackson says, keep hope alive. In any event, the next time you encounter your friendly local right-winger spouting lies and propaganda about Venezuela, you'll have some facts to throw back in his or her face. Well, that'll about wrap it up for today. If you enjoyed today's show, please tell your friends about it. If they're not familiar with podcasting, turn them on to that as well. I'd love to hear your thoughts, suggestions, complaints, even constructive criticisms. My email is rational@adelphia.net. I'd also like to know if you found this podcast through an ad. Please write in and tell me which ad. Thanks to Tom Hartman's radio show for the clip of Rush Limbaugh. Check out tomhartman.com. He's probably the smartest and most knowledgeable talk show host in the country. Links to the sources I use during this podcast can be found on my data resources page, which is linked to off my main podcast homepage. Music credits. The opening instrumental was L.A. Nightmare by 22 Caliber. You can find them at music.podshow.com. We're going to close the podcast with a bit of Catapult the Propaganda by Nise Music, N-I-S-E, music.com. We'll hear the puppet propagandist, among others, admit his lies. May this be a harbinger of much more like it to come. So, until next time, I'll sign off and say I love you all, including all you right-wing pieces of crap.
In my line of work, you gotta keep repeating things over and over and over again to kind of catapult the propaganda. Catapult the propaganda.
Weapons Inspector Charles Dolfer has now issued a comprehensive report that confirms the earlier conclusion of David Kaye that Iraq did not have the weapons that our intelligence believed were there.
It turned out that we have not found any stockpiles. I think it's it's unlikely that we will find these stockpiles.
I don't know anybody in any government or any intelligence agency who suggested that the Iraqis had nuclear weapons. That's fact number one.
What has not stood the test of time was the judgment we made that there were stockpiles of chemical and biological.